Is there anyone here today named Harold? Do we have any Harolds here? We have one Harold. Wayne Harold? Is that what it is? Harold Wayne. Well, then you should be giving this sermon today. Well, tell me, do you know what Harold means? We sing a song, don't we? Hark, the herald angels sing. Who are they? They're the ones who proclaim. They're the proclaimers. The word herald means a proclaimer of good news. So Wayne, thank you for bringing the good news today. Let's give Wayne a big hand. He is the herald today. All right, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about those heralds, those proclaimers of good news, because we have some amazing proclamations that lead us up to Christmas. Now, some of you have made proclamations in your life. I remember one that I did here about 40 years ago. It says, I promise to take you, Janine. And I did it in front of a group of people. A proclamation is an edict that is truthful with authority. It was based on God's truth, the sacrament of marriage, and my commitment to that. That was a proclamation. Many of you have given proclamations, but what we have today are the awe-filled proclamations of Christmas. There are lots of them, but today we're going to just look at four of them, and I'm sure that all of these are incredibly familiar. The first one... we have is the birth of John in Luke chapter 1, and it goes like this. In the days of Herod, a priest named Zechariah had a wife, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as a priest, according to the custom of the priesthood, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at that same hour of incense, at that hour, there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." But you remember what Zechariah said, "How do I know this is true?" The angel said, "Because I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news." Do we ever stop to think about when we celebrate Christmas? Christmas is not normal. It is not natural. It is supernatural. Christmas is supernatural. Here we have Gabriel, the angel sent from God to Zechariah to tell him that your prayers have been heard. You're going to have a child through Elizabeth in your old age. Wow, what a proclamation by an angel. Remarkable proclamation. What I hope today is that we don't walk away thinking that Christmas is gift giving. I mean the kind that are wrapped with paper and ribbons. I want you to see something else today. Look at the second amazing proclamation. This one came to Mary, also in Luke chapter 1. It says, in the sixth month, same person, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now Mary was very troubled. And she said, "How is it?" She was troubled and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. And Mary said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And besides, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is she's in the sixth month, that one who was called a barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Starts off the Christmas story. Two supernatural events. I don't know. I think an angel appearing in your bedroom, that's big stuff. I mean, for me, that would be really awesome. But maybe you're all used to that, and I hope we can get to that place someday. Now we have another person, a member of the staff, who received an amazing proclamation. His name was Joseph. He just happened to be the husband of Mary. Well, he wasn't her husband yet. He was a man unwilling to put her to shame when he found out that she was pregnant. And he resolved to divorce her quietly, send her away. But he considered these things, and while he was considering them, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Joseph got into the act. He gets a message from an angel. But there's one more that we always talk about. This is an exciting one. In Luke chapter 2, it goes like this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's why I wanted sheep. I was thinking, if I had sheep, maybe when I'm out there with them at night, maybe an angel will appear. Well, angels. Wow. You know, we don't talk much about angels, do we? There was a while back that everybody had the little angel things, and angels were sort of a cultural sign of, I have no idea what it was, but it wasn't biblical. But the reality is, angels are biblical. The question is, are they natural or are they supernatural? Natural would be, do they exist in accordance with nature? Supernatural is, do they exist beyond the normal visible universe? Well, let's take a quick summary of angels, because I am sorry, Pastor Rex is going to be angry with me, I know. To cover angels in 15 minutes is terrible, okay? Because it's like a year study. But we're going to just give you an overview of angels. First of all, and it's even in your bulletins, they were created by Christ, Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and by him. Christ created the angels. They report to God. We read in Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The angels. We know that they were created as angels. You know, there's a... We served 14 years in South America, and there was a belief system that, you know, babies that died became angels. Okay. It was held pretty strongly down there. But the problem is, we find out that they were created angels. They weren't babies that became angels. They were created as angels. Gabriel wasn't a baby somewhere. He existed as Gabriel. Michael the archangel was Michael before humanity came into existence, because they watched it happen. Revelation chapter 4, we see in the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes, all around and within, day and night, never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come." What we know about angels is that they were created, so they're not eternal, but they are immortal. Eternal means they had no beginning and no end. Only God is that. But they're immortal. They live on and on and on. They're innumerable. They're innumerable. Remember what Daniel said when Daniel wrote? And he said, he looked around. The Ancient of Days took his place. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was fiery flames, and a stream of fire came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him as the books were opened. Innumerable. Angels are real. They desire to worship God. Do you remember what happened with John? The beloved disciple, when he was in Patmos, received the revelation in the book of Revelation, the final revelation of end times. An angel appeared to him and he fell down to worship. And what did the angel say to him? "John, stand up. I'm worshiping with you, the only true God. Don't worship me. We worship with you. We are brothers with you to worship the one true God." Here's the other amazing part, is that angels have the three attributes of personality. We find it as we go through the study of angels. They all have intellect, sensibility, and will. They have a will. Angels have a will, because remember what a third of them did? A third of them decided not to follow God and go off on their own with Lucifer. So they have a will. They chose. But the two-thirds that stayed, they chose to stay. We know they have some sort of a body. The problem is, we don't know what that material is. We just don't know what it is yet. Because the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15, our resurrection bodies are called spiritual bodies. What material will they be made of? I don't know. But pretty excited to see. I can't wait. I can't wait to know what it is, what new material that is. And they normally operate beyond our limited visibility. However, remember what I just said? They normally operate. Is this microphone shut off? Because it's buzzing. Yeah. They normally operate beyond our limited visibility, but there are visible appearances, and they've been recorded. Did you know that in the scripture, get this, visible appearances have been recorded of angels 273 times in 34 books of the Bible? 273 times. Now, maybe some of you have seen them. I don't know. But here's just a little reminder. Now, the amazing part is that what Pastor Rex has been preaching about for the last few months, we've touched on a lot of these things, but remember with me some of these things. They appeared to Abraham and ate with him. And Sarah hid from them. The angel appeared to Hagar in the wilderness when Ishmael was about to die. To Lot in Sodom. But the amazing part was even the wicked people of Sodom thought they were attractive and wanted to have relationships with them. So they had a body that the wicked people of Sodom saw and were attracted to. To Jacob as he met Esau. To Moses. They appeared to Joshua. They appeared to Gideon. To David at the threshing floor. To Elijah under the juniper tree. To Elisha's assistant as he saw the armies of God camped round them as he feared that night. And God opened his eyes and he saw the myriads of angel armies camped around him. To Daniel in the lion's den. To Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. An angel announced the birth of Samson. To Zechariah that we read about. To Mary we read about, Christ's mother. To the shepherds, to Joseph. They ministered to Christ in the wilderness. They ministered to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. They ministered by rolling away Christ's tomb. To Mary Magdalene at the tomb announcing his resurrection. They proclaimed as edict Christ's second coming. They delivered Peter and John from prison. To Cornelius in a vision. To Paul on the ship that said no one will die. To John, the beloved disciple at Patmos. Now what do all of these appearances have in common? The angels appeared at the pleasure of God to humanity in their need at just the right moment. We should not take lightly. We need to take seriously the reality, the spiritual reality of angels. They announced the celebration that we're about to participate in. But here's my question. If we look at that list of people that I just read to you and when the angels appeared, all of those people had a heart for God. They were all in spiritual training, every one of those people. So I guess we have to ask ourselves, why do some people see angels and others do not? That's a scary thought. That's something we don't want to talk about. That's out of our realm. But I wonder if it's because are we in spiritual training? Are we developing the spiritual aspect of our existence? Could it be that Christianity, even the evangelical church, seeks to adopt an intellectual understanding rather than willing to look and yearn for the spiritual awe and wonder of God? What we eat absolutely makes a difference in our health. Believe me, I know this. I'm learning this. I'm reminded of it daily. What we eat makes a difference in our strength physically and mentally. But what about our spiritual strength and abilities? What impacts those areas of our lives? How are we developing our spiritual sight and hearing? Well, obviously, it's what we take into our eyes, our ears, and our minds. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you're a farmer. We still have a few of those here, right? I have a few farmers. And I don't know. You're going to have to help me. I saw somebody say, Claire's right close. Claire's real close. Oh, it's Claire. Okay. Claire, if you bought a brand new John Deere combine, the biggest and the best, what's that cost? 400? How much? 300,000 to 400,000 probably? Is that close? Am I close? Is that pretty close? Jerry, how much is it? 400? Okay. Anyway, it's a lot of money. Now, it's all yours. You just bought it. You parked it in your shed. It's time to fuel it up and check out the hydraulic reservoirs, make sure it's got oil and fuel and everything's all set to go. You are the owner of such an amazing piece of machinery. And when you've got it in your shed and the doors are closed, you are free to do whatever you want to that thing. Because that's yours. You own it. That's yours. If you want to dump sand and gravel in the fuel tank, go for it. If you want to dump a few handfuls of that beautiful black dirt that's out in these fields into the hydraulic reservoir, it's yours to treat as you want. However, that would be, yes, it sure would. How you feed and develop your spiritual life is up to you. If you want to fill up your eyes, your ears, your mind with junk, dirt, trash, that's up to you. Have you ever wondered why nearly everything that surrounds us is focused on attracting material senses? What are we doing to develop our spiritual senses? How are we training and developing and using our spiritual gifts and abilities? Why is it when we look around, we find churches, all churches, filled with weak, spiritually sick, spiritually puny Christians? Why are we not focused on keen spiritual vision, strong spiritual minds, highly trained hearing to begin hearing the Spirit of God, to develop a spiritual sensitivity to the needs and souls around us so that maybe, just maybe, we might see angels? Remember Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. From the beginning of time, the creation of Adam and Eve, everything regarding Christmas is supernatural. The foreshadowing of redeemer types is Moses, Joshua, David. The prophesies regarding the birth and crucifixion of the Messiah in Isaiah. The amazing announcements of Gabriel and the multitude of angels. From his Shekinah glory in the wilderness tabernacle to his birth in a stable. From his creation of all that is to his crucifixion so that all can see. From his appearing to Abraham at Mamre to his appearing at Mary Magdalene. Outside the temporary tomb, from his ascension into heaven at Pentecost to his return at the second coming. The reality of Christianity itself is supernatural. When you trusted Christ for your salvation, that was supernatural. You can't forgive your own sins. The fact that his Holy Spirit now lives in you, that's supernatural. Yet for God, in Christ, it's normal. It's said that It's a Wonderful Life, that great movie that everybody shows at Christmas time, is considered the number one, not motivational, but inspirational movie in America of all time. It's a Wonderful Life. You've all seen it, right? You've all seen A Wonderful Life? Of course you have. Oh, we got, we've got George Bailey and his brother Harry, right? Okay. George becomes so discouraged because he thinks he's lost some money. Very discouraged. Wonders what life would be without him. But don't miss the point of that message, of that entire movie. It ends up with what? The presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence of his friends, and family at his side in that house. And how does it conclude? His brother, who? Harold. Thank you, Wayne. His brother, Harry, who comes back, flies through a snowstorm to do what? Announce. We've made contact with someone. Everything will be taken care of. And everybody celebrates because he is assured that the presence and love of his family was never taken away. I have an idea, just a suggestion. I'm not telling you to do it because I know for some people this is going to stir you up a little bit. Wouldn't it be magnificent and meaningful if we could give or we could share a gift this Christmas that represents the love of Christ? What did Christ offer and continues to freely offer to every human being on the face of this planet? His presence. He offers his presence in our life. If we accept him, his Holy Spirit lives within us. That's presence. Let's spell it. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Presence is what he offers. Now, I'm not saying not to give any presents with a T. Because even the Magi did that. They probably each gave one gift to the newborn king, and it had great, deep spiritual meaning. So what if this year we focus not on, and I don't know if you've ever been in one of these rooms at the end of Christmas gift giving. What's it look like? Boxes and ripped paper piled everywhere, and a child playing with one gift and the other 17 are thrown already to the side. Rather, give what Christ supernaturally offers us, his presence with a C. This year, let's focus on the spiritual. Let's begin to develop great spiritual truth in our homes and our families. This year, take the time and give the greatest spiritual gift. Here's what it is. We learned it from the angels. Remember, we read four of them. It is a proclamation of your presence, C-E, love and forgiveness to your family. Give your loved ones this year what is only natural and yet supernatural, the promise and proclamation of your presence in their lives. No matter what. The promise and proclamation of your presence in their lives, no matter what they have done. You do that, I am confident the angels will rejoice. Let's sing.